The rain is coming down in a constant rhythm outside, and the sky is dark. You're about to face off against a Mexican firing squad. Luckily for you, it's not a dire situation. It's the cocktail of the week. So welcome back to Thirst World Problems and get ready to enjoy, because the Mexican firing squad has tequila in it. It's got lime in it. It's got bitters in it. And it's got a little bit of sweet, because that's my thing, in it as well. So all those flavors come together and they don't overpower anything except for that tequila. This is a cocktail that you're going to know that you're drinking tequila because it's a double pour. And if you've had a long week, sometimes it's a triple pour of tequila in there. Now, full recipe and breakdown on how to throw it together, head over to thirstworldproblems.ca or hop on our IG page at thirstworldproblems, and you're going to find everything that you need there to make yourself a Mexican firing squad. The best part about that is you don't need all that much, so you're going to love this cocktail. Like I said, it's easy to throw together. Now, we're here to help you drink better, drink responsibly, and also have a little fun while you're doing it, and giving you a place where you can come and join a conversation. Make sure you guys share your opinions with us. Let us know how you're doing. Give us some feedback, what you want us to talk about. We love doing this show for you guys, and we love to hear from you, which is what's going to happen in this episode. We're going to get back to some listener feedback. So once again, thank you for listening and get ready to hear that song because it's a good one.
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bell coming at you from behind the mic on Thirst World Problems. And as you know, we are recording remotely, making sure we stay safe. We're not out here pretending we're the NFL and trying to get fans in the building here. And the next thing we are going to talk about, kick it off with a nice one of your Thirst World Problems. So this is the part of the episode where you guys send us your drink-related questions. We try to help you live a better life and drink a little bit better here. So the question coming in today is, yes, we know that cocktails or drinks are a very important part of having obviously a fun little cocktail party. But what goes well? What do you pair with? What do you think the go-to thing is to putting your party over the top besides the drinks?
It's got to be food for sure. I think it's about the environment. You can go in there with the poor, knowing that the environment's going to be poor, and you know, the drink will fix everything, right? And it's got to be food, man. It's just got to be the right people there, right? If it's not the drinks, then it's got to be the right people. If it's the wrong people, then it's got to be the drinks.
I heard you mention food right off the bat. So when you're having a few drinks with friends, is it a main meal that you want? Is it finger food? What is it that pops out for you?
Well, listen, man, the biggest thing is if you go there and you're just getting like, you know, superstore chips and, you know, just stuff like that, I'm out, man. You're going to see me top it right away. If I know there's an effort, you know, maybe pigs in a blanket, something good like that, you know, some effort into the mix, then I'll appreciate it. But if it's just here, man, here's some rippled chips, enjoy it, You're going to see me disappear pretty quickly.
Fair enough. And now for you, B, what's the number one addition to a good drink for you?
Like salty nuts and stuff? I love it. I know it's just heavy calories. Like you have a handful, you're at like 550 calories, right? But like cashews, salted cashews, huge
heavy nuts.
Huge weakness of mine. Pistachios, huge weakness of mine with a nice drink. That's my main thing. And then also music, man. Like, the worst is like, if, you know, everyone's sitting around, you know, now it's usually, you got the YouTube videos going, right? Like before it would just be the music, but now you got the YouTube going. The worst is like, you play something and someone's like, let me play something. Well, dude, man, let the song finish, right? Like, or let it go a little bit, or listen to some, Listen to this.
Put it in the queue.
Yeah, listen to something new that someone's showing. Why are you just listening to the same thing you were already listening to on your way to work today, man? Like, let me go on there. Well, just give it 2 seconds, man. That's the worst. Like, if you do get like a cohesive, you know, crew where it's like the music just flows like that, it's a game changer, I think.
I feel like the biggest thing is if people are not willing to give something a chance and they just shut it down right away, I just like kind of stop conversation right there. I think that's the biggest thing.
Would you say Bell does that with beer?
Well, we know he doesn't drink beer, but I mean, like,
what do you think the difference of that is with Bell not drinking beer of what you're saying? Is there a difference or does he get the pass?
No, he definitely doesn't get the pass. He just doesn't want to drink it because the main reason he doesn't drink beer, honestly, is because beer is bitter. Right? And
yeah, so is when you coffee the first time you drink it, man, you baby.
Beer is bitter for him. And the reason why he doesn't like it is because he wants to hit 1 to 1 billion when it comes to that sugar intake, man. he wants the blood sugar level to go right through his toes, man. you literally go hard or go home, man. That's the thing. Beer is just bitter, man. He doesn't like bitter things, man.
Okay, anyway, I'm sorry I brought that up, Bell. I just wanted to see what the difference here was between that and like someone who doesn't try something new or what he was.
Well, Bell, is that true? Is that true? You don't like bitter things, right?
A lot of that is true.
I'm not just doing it just for fucking jokes, man. He doesn't like bitter things, man. It's a simple fact.
It's true, man. I do prefer the sweeter taste. There's certain things that, of course, that I like that are a bit bitter and a bit different. But as far as like, yeah, like my alcohols go, for the most part, no. And that ties right into like my thing that I really like. The company I think adds to the mood is just good weather. I know even when it's, you know, like winter months coming up here, but the good weather, the sun shining, man, like whenever I see that sunshine, just makes the drinks go down that much better. Doesn't even really matter what the temperature is, but as long as there's some nice sunshine, that's perfect. And I really liked what you mentioned earlier, B, when you're talking about music, because the atmosphere is just made and created. Like music and lighting is one of the most underrated things, I think, when it comes to throwing a good get together, whether that's like or just a rager or just or a small cocktail party or just having a couple of buddies over, just the lighting and the music just changes everything. So I think that is definitely, definitely high on my list, as well as, like I said, man, I need that sunshine. That sunshine just changes.
You don't like when the boys pull out with all the North Face coats and just throw them on the ground and start drinking, or you're more of a, you don't want that, eh?
Oh man, I want to see at least a little sunshine coming in at some point, and then you can change up the lighting a little bit. But yeah, man, put the jackets away. Let's pretend that at least is still nice outside.
I really think we should go to your backyard when it's like winter and get a nice hot sake and just have it there, man. I guarantee that's gonna change life. Your backyard
for once, Bill.
First snowfall, I'm down with that. It'll still be warm enough to sit back.
No, I need it when it's like minus 20, man.
Just out there with like gloves and toques and everything.
You know, all my life in the winter, it was more about looks than warmth. I sacrificed looks for warmth.
That's the best. You see so many people like that. They sacrifice, they're the opposite, right? They sacrifice
the looks,
you're warm for the looks, and they're just dying, man. Just years. I used to be like that, and I just wrapped my head around it.
Walking to elementary school, I had to do my hair, man, and I'd leave, and my hair was frozen. And then I would get to school, and just like it just looks perfect, but at this mean same time, I would have like frostbite in my ears and stuff, and I would sacrifice. I'd be in so much pain, but at the same time, I knew my hair looked pretty good, man.
And the worst is people, aren't you cold? Dude, I know I'm fucking cold, man. Stop asking that over and over, right? That's the worst, man.
That's right, Mrs. Hoy. Stop asking me that.
Forget back in the day, man. Like, it's the best feeling in the world. Like, when you're driving in a nice warm car and you're driving like through the bar districts and you just see minus 40 outside and everyone's just in the skimpiest clothes. Guys in
shirts waiting to get the Laker hat on.
Or the worst is when you were a kid and you get go inside like recess, you're trying to take your boot off, but like only the insulin part comes out, and your foot's stuck in there, and the boot's out, man.
Yeah, or your sock also comes off, man. It's all stuck in there.
Yeah, your socks all wet and stuff, man. Your back of your heels all.
When you come back and someone stole some shit out of your cubby, man, you're done.
Well, that's a good question. Do you guys actually wear winter boots at all?
No, I wore.
It'll be dependent. Like if it's a snowfall or like if the snow's been there and it hasn't snowed for 2-3 weeks, well, then you can wear really whatever, right? But if it's snowfall and stuff, you got to have something to put on or else you're just ruining everything, right? So what's right anyway? Got to get those winter tires on, you know? Just like Nick's infamous winter tires last year. They're about to come back out, man. Those things, don't fuck with them.
Oh, you mean like Pirellis, bro?
For the winter, man.
Buddy, I keep on looking to the sky, just hoping that once, hopefully it comes back.
Every couple of days, he licks his tongue, puts it in the air, just trying to see is there any snowflakes coming down. Immediately puts self installs those Pirellis with the car jacket.
Oh, buddy, with the air gun.
How much do you guys think your shoes carry weight, like in terms of going out, or say you're even going to work, or how much do you think about it? Do you think it's the number one thing? And after your answer, what's your top three shoes of all time? Not like, oh, the Jordans, I love these, but you never even ever wore them. You wore them once and you just couldn't pull them off, so you just didn't put them on again or whatever. But shoes that you actually, you know, you've had multiple pairs of them over your life and they're kind of your go-to every time. Three pairs. So, Bell,
Does Bell's slippers count?
Yeah, I guess they could. The guy doesn't take them off. They're stuck to his feet.
So we're saying, okay, top three shoes, got that. That's fine. And we're saying whether or not shoes carry you weight. So like as part of your outfit or just perception in public? Like,
well, in terms of how you feel, confidence maybe, right? Like, do you care about that? Or do you think shoes are the number one thing of confidence when you're, you know, going somewhere, or what place do they hold in that?
Okay, top three shoes. I'll start with the top three shoes. So top three shoes, I'm going to have, I had multiple pairs of the same shoe. It was like a slip-on, looked like a dress shoe, slip-on, but it had like crazy cool grip on the bottom of it. So when you're on your feet all day, man, you can wear it in the office. Never tell. No, it wasn't spiked or cleated or anything like that, but it looked like a dress shoe with like almost like hiking grip on the bottom of it, but you couldn't tell on the bottom. So I bought right away, like I bought a couple of them, went through them and caught another pair, so they were super comfy and awesome to wear to work in the office. Another pair of shoes is going to be those basketball shoes, man. The Hardaways, when you had the little wood grain in there, man. Or the
McGrady's. Air Raids.
The McGrady's. I fucking
yeah. T-Max. Yeah. No, are you talking about Air Raids?
You just said three different shoes, man.
No, man. The McGrady's with the wood grain in the bottom.
Okay.
Red and
black. T-Mac ones?
I don't know, man. I'm not a sneakerhead.
Yeah, don't get anything wrong around Nick or those T-Macs. That guy has the whole line. Multiple bears, dead stock.
And then, man,
oh, for sure, dead
stock. They're all dead stock.
Then for me, I like a nice strappy sandal where, you know, feet toes are semi covered, and you got that nice those nice buckles around you, so to keep them. Yeah, nice.
Your toes, you want to keep them covered as much as possible. And we might throw up a picture of Bell's toe, but we wouldn't want to have you guys faint, right? So Nick has seen it before, and let's just say he was just sweating just profusely. He almost passed out, actually.
Maybe we'll show it on Halloween.
It's got to be like Friday the 13th. Like, you know, it's got to be a bad day to see those.
Yeah, and these guys are supposed to be my friends. But as far as shoes carrying weight, for me, no, I...
You don't really care.
Pass, no, yeah. I'm not a big guy or shoe guy, so I'll let you guys run with this one. What about you, Nick? Top three shoes?
Top three. You know what? Like, now, this is the crazy part. Now I don't care as much as I used to. Before, I used to be like, hey, I gotta be on point, but now I feel like I'm really lazy. Like, I don't even half of the time. I don't even do my hair and stuff.
You probably found that one you like or something, right?
Honestly, my top one's got to be a basketball shoe. So KDs are always my all time favorite. Those are probably the best shoes I've ever had. KD, I'm gonna say fives. Those are probably my favorite, most comfortable shoe ever. And then number two, it's got to be Toms, man. I think if you guys see me wear, like, I have like 20 different pairs, man. They're so easy, man. You can wear them with anything. That's the best part. You can literally go out, wear them with anything. They just look pretty. They look pretty classy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so easy. Number three has got to be the Boost, man. The Ultra Boost. That's you got to live and die, man. That's just, it's too comfortable. You can wear them all day. It's like on cloud nine, man. How about you, B?
So what would you say in terms of how much weight they carry? Like, is this something that matters to you when you're going somewhere, or you don't care? Because I know you're more than Bell in this.
Yeah. Like,
right.
Like, see, that's the thing. Like, you want a combination of something that you just don't want to wear on a random basis, right? And there want to be, you want to have that combination of, like, you know, they look good as well as they look classy too, right? So it's tough, man. Like, it really depends. Like, I'm gonna say Toms, man. My Toms. I can wear it anywhere. I've worn it to a wedding before. I've worn them, you know, out just randomly. Like, they just blend in so well, and you don't have to make any effort whatsoever. That's probably the best part. And you don't have to wear socks. that's probably the game.
Yeah, but you did, why do you care? You don't wear fucking socks with anything anyway, man. So what does it matter, man?
That's the game changer right there. Just, I don't have to wear socks.
No socks.
B, break it down, man. Let's hear you, buddy.
My favorite shoe of all time is
Monarchs. It's Air Monarchs.
No, man. My favorite shoe of all time are those Vans Authentics. I buy a pair like every like 4 months. I just rip through them hard. Like, because what I do with those shoes, I mess them up because I'll play basketball and, like, say I don't bring like a change of socks or something. I'll just put them on, right? And the sweat of sorry for getting vulgar graphic here. The sweat of in those socks will just sit in the bed of the shoe, but it's my everyday shoe. So then I'll put it on with new socks if I'm going somewhere in the morning, work or whatever. So then you just can't get that out of there, right? You can do whatever you want and your socks turn into a 6 hour wear, and after 6 hours you're stinky, right? Like, You guys have smelled this, right? This is a couple of times back in the day, right? I'm a lot better.
See, but that's why you need Toms, man. Because if you, once you play ball and you wear it, it just filters everything out. So it's like
it's easier to slip on, right? Yeah, it's tough for me to not wear socks with shoes, though. It's not tough. Like, I do it in the summer all the time, but
you slip them on. Honestly, it's like you're not wearing any shoes, man, and they're just. It just filters your feet. You don't have that stinky smell.
If you're wearing shoes, man, you got to put socks on, man. That's the rule.
My number two is all Air Force Ones. Just every person right now.
No, Bell, you got to put socks on, man. I don't got to put anything
on. Well, if it's not shoes that does it for you, then what is it that gets you excited, like B was talking about there? What makes you feel comfortable? Like, for me, it's like a fresh haircut and a blazer. I like a nice blazer, right?
Yeah, but you can wear whatever blazer you want, man. If you wear open-toe sandals, you're done, man. That's why I was asking you what the weight is on there.
Well, then, yeah, then you got to put on a dress shoe. But I mean, for most of my days, no, like 90% of the time, yeah, I'm just trying to relax and try to get from point A to point B. But if it's one of those times where you're talking about like that thing that makes you feel fresh and ready to go out and feels you that confidence, yeah, fresh cut in the blazer.
Bell, have you ever owned a blazer with a hood on it?
Oh, like the one that's sewed in already or whatever?
Sewed in, yeah. No, you remember when that was popular?
Oh, yeah, man. I remember like that.
Did you ever own one?
Oh, no, but I wanted one, man. I wanted one. I tempted. I got close.
Hey, back in.
I put one on like a layaway to like pick up, and then like because I was out of town or whatever, I was like, okay, I'll grab when I get back. And when I got back, like the lady was like, oh, well, we called you and you weren't around or whatever. And so we gave it to someone else. And I was pissed like for the longest time. I was like, man, it just fit right. I was like, yeah. And then a couple years passed and I was like, what was I ever thinking, man? Like, why did I want the attachment part of it? So,
yeah, that's the crazy part. You can detach the hood and attach it back on.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But everybody wore it. I've never owned a pair of it. Like the blazer like that, but like everyone had it. It was so
like
crazy.
It has a legit hood for like a hoodie?
Yeah, man. It was a blazer. They were blazers with an attached hood on it. But you never saw anybody wear the hood part. It was just an accessory. Like it's
what was a weird time. You on that hard or what?
Don't even ask, man.
I feel like you might have ran them.
Him and running don't exist. We're moving on here.
They're just throwing them under the bus. Good news, folks. We're getting some feedback here from some people that have been listening to the podcast. Good news or bad news, I guess we're about to find out here. The first set of feedback comes from our friend Kwaku. So shout out to Kwaku. Thanks for writing in. Thanks for letting us know that you listen to the pod. And this actually starts off pretty positive. So let's I had to say. So, hey, great podcast. Hey, I really like the Jabroni vote for Biden. I really enjoyed the positive take there at the end. And it's time we start shining an even bigger light on athletes who are making big sacrifices by opting out this season for injustice reasons. Lastly, do you all believe that these players are making a huge difference by choosing to have gone/stayed into the bubble? And if so, is sports the only platform athletes have to really make a difference? And is sport the only way that we can get people to pay attention and listen? So, Nick, why don't you open up with that can of worms there, buddy?
I don't think sports is. I think when you go on social media, everyone makes a big difference. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be an influencer. You can be a politician. It's basically the social media platform that makes the big difference. I don't think sports is just the platform, right? But, you know, a lot of you guys see the news, everything's through social media. So, you know, I think that's the biggest impact. If you can own the, like, you know, pretty much Instagram, then you can change someone's mind when it comes to it. I honestly believe that. So,
yeah, I think I'm going to go the other way here, simply just because of if those guys had all gone, like talking about the NBA, had all just gone on their social media and had kept playing and didn't take that stop and didn't quit and didn't try to push, I guess really you flex their muscle of saying they wouldn't play if they didn't meet some of these criteria, then I don't think that it would have been as noticeable an impact as you would have seen. Like for us that are in touch, I guess for the casual fan, right? Like so for us that are in touch or that follow these guys on social media, I'm sure a lot of that would have popped up and would have been in our timelines. But there's a lot of people that may not even really follow sports outside of the major events. And then hearing about the bubble being closed and then baseball kind of followed suit and eventually NHL followed suit. So I think that had a huge impact on what message was getting out. And I'm kind of curious on what's going to happen next after the series ends. And I think that's where you're talking about where these guys can really pick it up and continue the momentum on their own social media. And I guess with some of their associations that they have going on. But I think it's only really the bigger players that have an impactful voice as far as some of the organizations and stuff that they've started. But B, let's.
I don't think that, to be honest with you. I don't think it has to do with a lot of the big players. I think a lot of the smaller guys do a significant impact in their communities to make a big difference. So I just think that we just remember the bigger athletes because of what they've done in sports, right? So, you know, there's so many people that do great things that are athletes that are not big names, but it's just, fortunately, we tend to remember, you know, the more popular athletes than anything else. So,
yeah, that's a great point, especially about the community. Cause I mean, eventually to make any real change, it has to start at that grassroots and in that community. So yeah, that's a great point there. B, what do you got, baby?
I'm actually with you on that. I think sports are our main thing to get through to people, because I think a lot of these social networks are becoming just places to argue now. There's no, you know what I mean? Either argue or, you know, there's so many websites that look legit, but they lean so left or right, and, you know, stuff comes out and it'll be like, oh, well, 100,000 ballots were fraud. Well, no, man, that never happened. It's just, but it was put out and the president tweeted it, or, you know, retweeted it, for example, and everyone believes it. So I think there's a lot of fake stuff that comes out, but since everyone's on there, they believe it. I think with sports, when these, you know, people talk on from, you know, during an NFL game or an NBA game, I think it's very tough to discredit that, because you can't see the replies rolling in right away while you're watching. You're looking for your own, you know, you're doing your own opinion when you see that. Obviously, afterwards, you're going to go on there and see what other people are saying. But I think that's a pure delivery of what people are saying or doing. So I think sports is mainstream as I think sports is as mainstream as it's ever been. Like I think athletes are a lot of athletes and entertainers are, for a lot of people, are everything, honestly. And it just sucks, right? Like scholars, you know, authors, that kind of thing's a little bit different now, but I think entertainers and athletes are the highest now. And to Nick's point, I think, the bigger athletes are going to be remembered is just the money too, right? It's the capital. Like, you know, you can't, a Lou Williams, like, can't open, well, he can, but, you know, why would he want to throw all his money away? Could open a school, but, you know, LeBron can do it with, 1/50th of his wealth, and it goes even farther than that, right? So I'm just glad we have these guys who, you know, do reach out, do come, like the Steph Currys of the world multiple times has denounced stuff like this, right? The LeBrons of the world, like, are the biggest athletes in the world, even in the NFL, when they put out that video that, you know, before the league started, that you guys aren't doing anything. And then the fucking NFL started scrambling, running around, trying to make things up, right? So I think a lot of these guys have a lot of power, and I'm happy with what they've been doing. So I know people are like, oh, it doesn't matter and stuff. I really think it matters, man. And I think a lot of people that say that, they're just annoyed that these guys can do that and they have to sit around and take it, right? So that's what I think on that.
There you go, man. Not bad, not bad. We got some more heat coming in, and this one doesn't seem to be positive. I didn't write down exactly who sent this one in, so I apologize for that.
But I can figure out who it is.
This one is about our episode we did on the Mamba mentality. And it says, you guys were doing a good job, and then you guys started talking crazy when you put LeBron at the top. All he did was switch cities and try to forge super teams. And he got the whole league started on this nonsense now. And all athletes want to do nowadays is get paid, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya. So why did you put King James at the top of your list when you were talking about Mamba mentality?
Before we answer that, like,
wait, did I put LeBron on? I didn't put LeBron on top.
I don't think you did. I think B and I.
You did.
Yeah. So I think.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I don't understand this. Like, I understand where you're coming from, I guess, like with a lot of this stuff, but like, I also think a big part of these super teams, everyone thinks LeBron started the super team. I don't really understand that. Like, I understand that he started the super team in the age of social media and, you know, so many more people knew about it, even casual fans, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's a super team and stuff. But, man, the Celtics had a super team, right? You go into the Lakers. I think the Lakers had a super team when they won those three titles. Like, just because it's a third guy, and the third guy is not even a superstar, man. I'm not going to say Chris Bosh is a superstar. I don't think that's true at all. And I think, and then before that, I think the Bulls, like with Scottie Pippen, and you know, before even that, like the Boston Celtics teams that won all those titles. Then you think about, you know, Magic and, you know, the teams he had with the players that he had on there. Like, the super teams have been in the league for a long, long time. You could call the Pistons, you know, up there in terms of defensive. Obviously, these guys aren't looked at as stars, but I don't think just because the biggest guy did it doesn't mean that he started super teams. That's just what I personally think on that, but obviously, there's going to be pushback.
I agree with you on some of the statements there, but I mean, a lot of those other teams, it was through drafts and stuff that they put it together. So I get what they're saying about LeBron being like one of the guys that started the whole player empowerment and kind of the new era, I guess, of super teams.
Before you keep continuing, I just want to interject quickly there. So does he have to take the hit of doing the movement of letting players choose and stop letting teams dictate where they go? Does that mean, should he get praise of, hey, I started, you know, saying where people should go and gave players power? Is that a big positive for him? Because I think so. Or is he just going to keep getting dragged that he went to the team and that he's a bitch because of it? Because I don't think that makes sense for him.
See, I should have let you interrupt because that was my point there. So well done. I completely agree with you. The reason why LeBron has is number one on my list for Mamba mentality is because LeBron isn't necessarily a guy that's like, okay, well, I need all these other guys to do as I say. LeBron is a guy that says, this is what I want. And you guys are going to get me this. And you're going to get me this piece and that piece and that piece. And
he's the same thing.
He's controlling the team. Well, he's not like, oh, I need everyone else to make me better. He's like, this here's the blueprint. You're going to follow my blueprint. Okay? He's not like, oh, he's not sitting around waiting for someone to give him something. He's going out and he's taking it. And I think that's the ultimate aspect of Mamba mentality right there, where he's getting teams rebuilt. Everyone says like, oh, okay, playoffs are coming. LeBron's going to trade everyone away and this is going to happen. Or LeBron's doing this and LeBron's doing that. He's running the team. Yeah, that's insane. You got a player that's out there running the team. Yeah, good. And he's winning. Hey, that's a Mamba mentality, man. That's it at the end of the day, man. Not only are you playing on the team, but you also got to control things in the back room. Give it to him.
I think the biggest stat that everyone uses on LeBron is he's had the most all-stars to play with him in his own career, man. He's had it more than anyone else. So I think that's where a lot of people are just saying, like, I get what you guys are saying, but I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of people are kind of giving LeBron that, you know, second fiddle, because he's basically, you know, he's always trying to get new guys, new all-stars on his team, and he's not willing to build a dynasty. I think that's the biggest thing. He's not willing to build a dynasty for a team. He's willing to build his own dynasty, right? I think that's the main thing. So that's why, you know, like what he did was great. Like, I think it helps players move around, but I think there's always going to be pros and cons to it. Like, look at Kevin Durant, for example, right? He signed a crazy contract, didn't even play this year. So now he's got 1 year left. He's going to ride it out, and then we'll see what happens next year, right? He's got a player option, right? Because this one counted as one.
Three in a player option or two in a – one in a player option?
It's two in a player option. The third year is the player option, right? If he wants to. So things like that, right? Like, so, you know, it's helped players get more money, but at the same time, it crushes fans a lot because of the movement that happens so much. Like, I don't even know how – people are, you know, like they're always, Forbes always does a list of like top jersey sales, and you're always going to get your same guys because you know those guys are not going to move. It's always going to be the guys that are not going to move.
Tom Brady.
No, like, I mean, for the NBA, like, you're going to get your Curry. You're going to – now Luka, right, it's on there. You're going to get LeBron, obviously. You know, you're going to get
Hero. Hero got a bunch of jerseys sold the other day. His performance.
Yeah, like, but you know what I mean, though, right? It's guys that you know.
That was a bad example, man.
Yeah, like it's guys that you know that are not going to go far, like are not going to move on a consistent basis, and you know, like that you know that at least you can get a year or two of the jersey out of it, right? So it's just tough to see what's going on in the landscape of the NBA because no one's signing 5-year terms anymore. No one's willing to make that long commitment.
Yeah, and right? Honestly, why would you, man? That's what I think.
It's because at the time the NBA agreement wasn't as crazy as it is now. The fact that it got expanded all the way to China.
But that's why I don't understand why. I guess they're more casual fans. Is why do they come at say LeBron's throat so hard? And like, I guess they just don't understand the player side of it.
That's probably pretty much why they probably don't understand the players. They don't understand how things work. A lot of people think very old school mentality, right? Like the loyalty. Oh, why is this guy loyal to this team? It's the team, right? Nowadays, fans, there's not many people are fans of teams. People are fans of players, and they just wherever they go, that's where their player goes. So, you know, imagine being a huge LeBron fan. You went from, you know, Cavs fan, being a Cavs fan to a Heat fan, and then all of a sudden you're a Lakers fan, and you know, like what's next, right? And that's just how it is.
Research, Oscar.
Now the next question coming in is a little bit different here. So, what's something or what advice would you give to someone looking to create a lasting career? Oh, wow, I'm going to try that one again. What advice would you give to someone looking to create a lasting career from your own personal experiences? So nothing that you read in a book, but some tricks or techniques or lessons that you learn coming up. I guess they look at us as kind of respectable young professionals. Well, not young professionals for me, but you know how it is. So any tips or advice you would give to people?
You're a millennial. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You're literally a millennial. Well, actually, I don't know if you are.
He is. It's 80.
Crazy.
No, it's 84.
It's 80 going forward.
We're trying to figure out what a millennial tip here is. But getting back, question.
I think the biggest thing you want to know is know your value. Don't short guess it. If you know your values more, don't just settle in with what you have. Because a lot of people are, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes to take you down. And a lot of people are scared because they know that, you know, your true potential is a lot better than them. And they have to fight tooth and nail whilst, you know, some things that you might go with the breeze and you might just be smarter about it. So always know your worth, always know your value. If you don't know that, that's the biggest thing that you should do. Always know that because that can make or break anything. When it comes to, you know, work, business, it might ruin some friendships. It might ruin some family members. But end of the day, you know, you're not settling for less just for someone to make somebody else happy. It always should be about you. That's how I always look at things.
Oh, no, that's a good point about knowing your own worth. Like, I really like that point, Nick. That's a really good point. One thing that's kind of helped me in my career is... no matter what position you are, if you want to do well in the position that you're in, find out a little bit about the position above you, like the workflow that after it leaves you, about the people above you, and a little bit about the people below you as the work is coming in from it. If you know those positions, then it's easy to find ways that you can help benefit the people above and below you. And that way, the more people that are on your side and the more people that you're considerate of, the easier your job's going to be. And especially when you're coming up with new ideas and new proposals to put towards your bosses, they're going to understand that you're helping mitigate some of that workflow both ways. And they're going to love that kind of stuff. So always try to know a little bit about the people around you and the job that they have to do, because it also shows that you're well aware of the situation and you're a team player. So that's some of the advice that I would give. And now we'll toss it over to my boy B here.
Man, I think the main thing, because I think, you know, we all have to kind of realize that, you know, and hopefully we're our own, you know, businessman, or, you know, start your own business, or, you know, be a part of something bigger. But for a lot of people, it's going to be 9-to-5s, man. It's going to be desk jobs, corporate jobs, right? Head office jobs, whatever, fast food jobs, right? Let's include everything. And I think the main thing is for a lot of the working class, like, that's going to be the main thing you're doing, right? And I think if you can find something within that job or that shift, or when you're going in, that you truly like doing, I think you can make it kind of worth it, right? Even though you might not be exactly where you want to be and you see yourself elsewhere, I think, you know, you'll always, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, dread their 9-to-5, or they dread going in, or, you know, whatever. And obviously all of us have had those days, right, where you don't want to go, you don't want to go do this, right? But I think if you make some relationships are one, and two is finding that one main couple things that you really like about that job and not just focusing on the negatives, I think you can get a long time out of it. And I think people notice that in terms of if you do want to be more, or, you know, maybe you develop the quality so well that now you think you can teach other people, right? Maybe you do start your own business or something, and you know what you want to instill in these people and stuff. So I think if you, you know, instead of, because I don't want to just talk in terms of someone that's just a millionaire or something, right? Like, the reality is a lot of people are, you know, middle-class workers, right? Lower class, upper class, whatever. And I think that's the main thing, is finding a little niche that you do like and feeding off that until you've had enough and you want to make the decision of doing something else, which is, you know, I think is more accepted now than it ever has been, right? Gone are the days of someone staying with the same place for 50 years, right? Like, that's what our parents did, right? People don't do that anymore.
Well said, well said.
There's actually a funny study saying millennials are always wanting to move up quicker. So, like, apparently, like, under a year, like, that's why there's so many movements that's happening, because millennials want to try to move up as quick as they can in the totem pole. But then they just, if it's not happening in a short span, they just end up quitting and trying to just work.
Leave. Yeah. And the funny thing is the baby boomers at Suffer City, they were thinking that 10 years, everything, right? So it's like the opposite, right? It's like, oh, I've been here for 22 years, I should be next. Well, no, like, you're very lazy now, right? So it all depends on which way you think about it, I guess, right?
And there you go. That's it for all my questions.
Thirst World family, thanks for listening. Another great episode again coming out on Thursday. Please share the podcast, whatever you're listening it on. There's always listening to it on. Sorry, I can't speak today. Whatever you're listening to it on, there's always a share button in there. Podcast, you know, Spotify, Instagram, share it, right? Pass it around, because I know you're laughing your ass off in, you know, in the car on the way to work, and you're not sharing it. So do that for me, do that for Bell, and do it for Nick. That's it, brother.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.